da bem.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on
Opasnost.
Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And today's program is called sort of Short Wavelengths, sort of a response to radio, radio about radio, short wave band transmissions, music inspired by the short wave, John Cage and others. Track called Com a la Radio by Bridget Fontaine. And that opening track was by Velimir Klebnikov, The Radio of the Future. That was the pseudonym of Klebnikov. He was a writer, sketcher, and poet, and he was constantly searching by way of verbal experimentation, writing towards the utopia of a stellar universal language. The Radio of the Future is an essay written at the end of his life, anticipating the possibilities of the new radiophonic medium. Radio first started broadcasting in Russia in 1922. He conceives radio as a central tree consciousness, or a great wizard and sorcerer, which with its waves would unite all mankind. He saw the radio station as a spider's web of lines, or the flight of birds in springtime, which reveal the news from the life of the spirit. In the hands of artists, this new medium would transport and project ideas instantly to the unknown shores of all humanity. Klebnikov imagined that they could make radio books, radio reading walls, radio auditoriums, a concert stretching from Vladivostok to the Baltic. Radio and art exhibits, radio screens and radio clubs, where you could see and hear everything from the tiniest sound of nature to major events in the exciting life of cities, and so on. This capacity of radio led him to see it as the great sorcerer, capable of transmitting even the sense of taste, people would drink water feeling that they were drinking wine. Or smell. A radio station would give the nation, for example, the odour of snow in the middle of spring. It would also be a doctor without medicine, curing from a distance by means of hypnotic suggestion. And radio could also transmit sounds to facilitate the work of the harvest and construction by emitting certain musical notes. So that sounds just like resonance, doesn't it? So there we are. That first track was by Klebnikov. I should say that next week Wavelength won't be broadcasting because Resonance is broadcasting live from Port Elliot. So I will be back actually considerably later, something like September the 11th. In the meantime, whilst in Weymouth, which I talked about last week, I came across a book it's an amazing little bookshop on a back street there called Books Afloat, which sells all kinds of maritime memorabilia. Strange sort of model submarines and everything to do with boats. And there upstairs in this sort of a room where you have to sort of switch the light on yourself to go in and browse the books, I came across The Art of Radio, a CBC training manual written for CBC, which is the Ceylon Broadcasting Corporation. And this was published by the Ceylon Broadcasting Corporation in 1969, and it's described as a training manual. By Stuart Wavell, and this copy happens to be signed with the compliments of Stuart Wavell, and cost me £3. So I thought I might read some extracts from this. I might get some tips on how to conduct a radio program. You must appear to be interested, and you must at least appear to be humble. God, I'm not humble, but I can appear to be. The only reason I can appear to be is because I'm interested, and I so badly want to know what's going on in that longhouse or how you cook a human leg, that I'm prepared to go to any lengths of humiliation to find out. And this is by Stuart Wavell, and he goes on. An old friend of mine, Colonel Locke, who wrote Tigers in Trengganu, was asked in a radio program to describe a tiger. He could have said terrifying, an abstraction which would have been true, but being a natural broadcaster, he replied, rather like death in fancy dress, I would say, a combination of the utmost ferocity and the utmost grace, rather like a domestic cat too, with its wonderful charm and poise. The word terrifying conveyed no picture. Death in fancy dress combined with a domestic cat did. Examples not only help your listener to see, they also add freshness and drama to your experience. They help your listener to imagine that he was actually there himself when it happened. Like this. Some years ago in Malaya, I had the unique experience of waiting on the jungle edge for the ape men to appear. Two giant figures, naked except for bark cloths and matted with long hair, spread terror among rubber tappers on estates in Perak. But more fearsome, perhaps, than the two ape men was an ape woman who travelled through the jungle with them. She was the one who went into action. While they stood in the background watching, it was she who went up behind the unsuspecting tapper and wrapped her powerful arms around him. One look over his shoulder at that horrible face with the jutting canine teeth, one smell of that putrid breath, and the imprisoned tapper either fainted or tore himself from her embrace and ran screaming. My own simple objective was to record the speech of the ape men. Anthropologists thought they could be surviving Pithecanthropus man driven out of the central jungles by bombing and machine gun fire. What the ape woman wanted was food, and so did her men. I waited as bait at the jungle edge at the very spot where 17-year-old Wong Yi Moi had torn herself free from the ape woman's embrace, and rushed blindly through the trees, shrieking and sobbing. My portable recorder and microphone were in instant reach. I pretended to be digging for roots, always keeping my back to the jungle. The sun came up, and with it birdsong. Occasionally, as I wandered along a pathway dividing the rubber trees from the jungle, I caught a glimpse of the sparkling water of the Trolak River, the same river into which the ape men had dived when a police corporal had raised his gun. The same river which they must have crossed to approach the unsuspecting Wong Yi Moi. 4 hours went past. The heat was oppressive. I thought again and again of how I should behave, what I would do. I visualized every conceivable situation. Of one thing I was determined, not to fight back. My single object was to befriend them. Long waiting had turned my impatience to frustration, almost to despair. The suspense of constantly listening for every sound stretched my nerves to breaking point. I focused all my will upon my back. At any moment, I would feel those powerful arms encircle me. The horrid breath would be on my neck. I longed to be embraced by the ape woman. And then I heard guttural noises coming from the edge of the jungle. I dared not turn around. I dared not move. One wonders if perhaps the listener is now with me, sharing my hopes and fear on that remote rubber estate. How much less radio-visual it would have been had one merely said, "Evidence for the possible existence of Pithecanthropus man came recently from the visit of a radio reporter to a rubber estate in Trolak, Perak, where two hairy ape men and an ape woman have been seen." Finally, how do we bring our radio talk to an end? We've captured our listener's curiosity in the first sentence. We have led him forward swiftly and logically with visual examples along the path of our experience. We have been vivid and fresh, and at times even dramatic. Now, how do we end? To discover this, we go back to the listener in his chair. What does he want most from us? We have stirred his curiosity, his imagination. We have given him all the relevant facts and brought him to a peak of active cooperation in sharing our problem or experience. Now, surely, we must inject the catalyst, the key sentence which will set him off thinking for himself, wrestling with the problem alone, wandering and wandering. For this is really the job of the radio man, to furnish the contemplative with the materials of speculation to the end of time.
Arguing that suspension entitled to protections given to enemy soldiers under the Geneva Conventions. No finding the memos led to the abuse of prisoners at Guantanamo. $1 billion for humanitarian. They helped those countries harvest hit by the disaster. I think the other route.
It was a weaker decision.
Aid groups are still
going down this weekend. 7 foot rock and roll, 1-800-7-5.
Dozens of aid workers.
The UN officials have advised aid workers to better.
Investigators say no witnesses have come forward, but they believe the shooting may have been accidental. Police say it's not clear.
Yeah.
first.
That was that piece was by John Cage. That's called Imaginary Landscape Number 4 for 12 radios, and that was composed in 1942. Coming up next is a piece by another Russian piece by Jiga Vertov, the famous filmmaker, made a film called Enthusiasm and Man with a Movie Camera, and this piece is called Radio Ear, Radio Pravda. Radio project produced or actually composed or constructed in 1925, and this piece was reconstructed in 2005.
Слушайте, говорит Ленинград, РВ-3, РВ-3, волна 1000 метров.
was a piece by Vertov, Jigar Vertov, famous filmmaker. And next, coming up next is another John Cage piece called Credo in Us, with Genevieve Blondes on shortwave radio, also composed in 1942. But before that, a brief extract from The Art of Radio, the Ceylon Broadcasting Corporation training manual, published in 1969. To build up an audience atmosphere really well, it is essential to have audience microphones handheld by two attractive young ladies. The audience ideally should not exceed 30, enabling the chairs to be well spaced out, to allow easy access for the microphone girls, in quotes, to reach any member who wishes to speak as quickly as possible. He merely has to raise one hand and a girl should instantly go to him. While he is speaking, the girl on the other side of the studio is moving towards the next victim, and so it should continue alternately.
Thank you. Begegnungen war es ja. Thank you. осмотре большая глубина, большое значение гармонии.
Listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And that was a composition by John Cage called Credo in Us from 1942 with Genevieve Blondes on the shortwave radio. Another brief extract from The Art of Radio, the Ceylon Broadcasting Company training manual from 1969. The essence of an outside broadcast seems to be to capture the moment's wonder, to grasp the joy as it flies, calls for imagination and descriptive skill of the highest order. It calls also for patience, restraint, judgment and planning. I have never forgiven myself for deserting my microphone on a remote lake in the heart of Pahang. I had spent a week seeking what the Semalai aborigines called the Nagak serpents, who were so tall that only the top half was seen peering over the 15-foot spiky rasau palms which filled the lake. Their descriptions vividly reminded me of monsters whose skeletons I had seen in the Natural History Museum in London. The 60-ton Diplodocus of prehistory, or Diplodocus of prehistory, whose legs could not support its weight on dry land. Finally, I tracked it down to the deepest part of the lake and waited for a full day on a jutting headland, praying that I should either be able to photograph it or record its fearful cry. By mid-afternoon, I was dozing in the hot sun when a blast shattered the lake. It had the impact of a ship's horn, devastating in its power, yet it resembled the trumpet of an elephant in pain. It was infinitely louder than any animal I had ever heard before in the jungle. I reached for the camera on my lap and pointed it in the direction of the sound. But nothing disturbed the surface of the lake. My instant reaction should have been to switch on the recording machine, and perhaps my tape would have caught the dying note of that cry. But I was too late, and it never came again.
Ce sera tout À la tête. À 7 minutes, une vieille dame ivre morte gémira seule au dernier étage sous son lit et ne pourra plus bouger. À 7 minutes, un Espagnol sera bien content d'avoir trouvé du travail. Mais n'ayez pas peur. On sait ce que c'est que la radio. Il ne peut rien s'y passer. Rien ne peut avoir d'importance. Ce n'est rien. Ce n'était rien. Juste pour faire du bruit. De la musique, juste des mots, des mots.
Well, that was Comme à la radio, Brigitte Fontaine-Areski with the Art Ensemble of Chicago, which included Joseph Jarman, Malachi Favors, Roscoe Mitchell, Lester Bowie, Leo Smith, and many others. So, yes, you've been listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. One more brief extract from the Art of Radio from the Ceylon Broadcasting Company. Remember that the whole object of radio is to convince the listener of the truth of what you are telling him. It says him throughout the book, of course, published in 1969. Therefore, go through your completed script again and again. Cut out anything which sounds corny or insincere. Cut out any unnatural speech. Avoid coincidence. These do not ring true to real life. If necessary, cut whole scenes if you feel they destroy the true atmosphere of your drama. Remember your overall shape, the steady tightening of the plot, the gradual approach to your climax. And having reached it, don't stop. Give us a few moments to recover, and then darkness, and for us, by our radio sets, we hope, continuing wonder! Exclamation mark. So, I'm going to end the programme with a William Basinski piece called Short Wave Music. And this piece is called Evening Scars, all tracks composed and recorded live by William Basinski in 1982 using tape loops and shortwave radio.